But this evening is just continuing with Canto 2, Chapter 9, Texts 41 and 42. What happened this morning? In the morning verse? What happened? At least what's the storyline? What happened? Okay, so what was the storyline? What did Brahma do? Huh? Yeah. But it's a transition verse. He's given an assignment. He has some service to do. He had this. What's his service? His service is to recreate the universe and all the living beings in the lower portion of the universe that were destroyed during his night. That's his service. So he knows how to do it, just like we may know so many things. We may know how to ride our bicycle or walk to work or solve a math problem. We know how to do something. But right away, he didn't just run off and do the something. What did he do first thing? He situated himself in theistic spirit and fixed his mind upon the Supreme. And he was doing so, Prabhupada explains, to set an example. Now, who is he setting an example for? He's setting an example for the sons that will come. And soon sons come. And one of those sons is Narada. So that's the next verse, text 41. Narada, the most dear of the inheritor sons of Brahma, always ready to serve his father strictly, follows the instructions of his father by his mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control. Very interesting. There's no purport, but he didn't just do. Brahma didn't just do, and Narada didn't just do. There's an instruction, just do it. Right, that's the slogan these days. Just do it. When I was in college, it was the age of hedonism. So the phrase was, if it feels good, do it. Now it's, just do it. It's obvious why you just do it. It's because it feels good. Just do it. Just do it. But cultured person doesn't just do it. They do it, but they with the right quality. And they're very concerned about what it is, what the thing that they do is, and how they do it. So because of that quality of goodness and wanting to please his father by his good behavior, by his meekness, by his sense control, Narada pleased his father very much. There's many examples of this where qualities exhibited by someone, a subordinate of some kind, the qualities exhibited by that person please the superior, the master, or the, and because of that, that they receive their blessings. And don't we learn from the Damodar Leela? We have learned from the Damodar Leela that Krishna is bound by the love of his devotees. It's not the rope of Mother Yashoda, because the rope was always too short. And more rope, and it was too short, and more rope is too short. Prayasa is necessary in devotional service, making some endeavor. But endeavor alone is not enough. It's not enough. What do we need besides to make some endeavor? We need mercy. That's the 2 inches, endeavor and mercy. So what should we do to get mercy? Just kind of hang out and wait for something to happen? Hold your mercy bucket out and hope something falls from the sky? Or look helpless and cry and tremble and say, I need mercy. That might work. But for sure what will work is if one develops nice qualities. And just by having those nice qualities, immediately those that are in the superior position show their mercy. One example, twice exhibited, was by the Prachetas, 4th canto Bhagavatam. The Prachetas were sons of King Prachinibhari. King Prachinibhari was a religious man, and he had made some service request of his sons. He requested his sons, please assist me in my service as a Prajapati. I would like you to help me by producing good praja. And their answer was, yes, sir. But it wasn't right away, sir. It was, we need to prepare ourselves. And so they went, just as Brahma went to engage in his tapa, they went to engage in their tapa. Their plan was to meditate underwater for 10,000 years so they could fulfill their father's request. Now, 10,000 years, that's a long time to stay underwater. It's a long time to do anything. And you consider that it's in Satya Yuga, the duration of life is 100,000 years. That's 1/10 of your life. Just, you know, saw off 1/10 of your life to fulfill an instruction. Those of you that are married or will someday be married, think about spending 10 years in austerity just to be able to produce a good child. Hey, that's a serious commitment, because it's a serious responsibility. To produce children like cats and dogs, that doesn't take anything. It happens all the time. Prabhupada describes, said that they can do it even better. They can have 10 piglets. We can have one child. They've got us beat. Or 5-6 puppies or 5-6 kittens. In a shorter gestation period, they can produce more than we can. So, is more or faster better? Modern society seems to think so. More and faster is better. But Vedic society isn't more and faster is better. Quality is better. And quality requires purity. And purity requires preparing for that purity. So, the Prachetas left home to enter into the sea for the purpose of undergoing austerities for 10,000 years. As they were entering into the sea, from the sea emerged Lord Shiva, looking very sea-like, very different than anyone else they had ever seen, and his whole entourage. And he came before them and said, it is very rare for someone to see me, but I've come before you and given you my darshan because you have pleased me very much. by your quality of submissiveness to your father. Therefore, not only I've come to give you my darshan, but I want to give you something else. I want to give you the means by which you can achieve spiritual perfection while you're doing your meditation underwater. I want to give you one stotra, a prayer that I personally recite for fixing your mind on Lord Vishnu. And you will achieve perfection. Here is the prayer. And he gave the prayer. They didn't have their mercy basket running around crying and begging. They were just carrying out their duty in a very submissive manner. Mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control. Just like Narada. And then they were underwater for 10,000 years, and during that time, Lord Vishnu came underwater, riding on Garuda. And their meditation broke because there they saw the Supreme Lord before them, and he said, I've come before you because you pleased me very much by your quality of cooperating together with one another. It's even more difficult than Kali Yuga. That was Satya Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, people are inclined to quarrel all the time. That's what it means, age of quarrel. But by their quality of cooperating so nicely, Lord Vishnu came, gave his darshan. Another nice example is that of Narada. You know this from the first canto in Narada's previous life. It was a insignificant little boy somewhere. The son of an insignificant person. His mother was a Shudra or Shudrani. And he didn't even have a father, at least apparently, not present father. But because of his mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control, because of his qualities before the sages that were staying at the inn for the 4 months of the rainy season, they gave him their mercy. They shared transcendental knowledge. They allowed him to do some menial service. They trained him in the process of meditation. They gave him some mantra to chant. They gave him the means for achieving spiritual perfection. He got mercy because of his nice qualities that the Bhagavatam describes. He wasn't like some children can be, very frivolous and playing all the time. He was sense-controlled. Didn't have those normal, childish things. But he was very happy just being with the Bhaktivedantas and bringing their meal and washing their clothes and cleaning and hearing from them all the while, serving. So many examples. So this is the message of this. Brahma had a number of direct sons, and most pleasing amongst them was Narada. Then comes the next verse. Narada very much pleased his father and desired to know all about the energies of Vishnu, the master of all energies, for Narada was the greatest of all sages and greatest of all devotees. O King. I'll read the purport. It's very nice. Lord Brahma, being the creator of all living beings in the universe, is the original father of several well-known sons, like Daksha, the Chatu Sanas, and Narada. In three departments of human knowledge disseminated by the Vedas, namely fruitive work, karma kanda, transcendental knowledge, jnana kanda, and devotional service, upasana kanda. Devarshi Narada inherited from his father, Brahma, devotional service, whereas Daksha inherited from his father fruitive work. And Sanat Sanatana, etc., inherited from their father information about Jnanakanda, or transcendental knowledge. Did you follow that? Should I go over it again? Is it clear? Many sons, three prominent, three divisions of Vedas, and Daksha, very expert in fruitive sacrifices, karmakanda. The four Kumaras, very expert in knowledge, jnanakanda. Narada, very expert in devotional service. So in sequence, there's a hierarchy. Although all three divisions of knowledge are from the Vedas, there's a hierarchy of knowledge within the Vedas. As Brahma had a hierarchy of qualified sons. But out of them all, Narada is described here as the most beloved son of Brahma because of good behavior, obedience, meekness, and, most important, readiness to render service unto the Father. And, in this case, his father is Brahmaji. Brahma has no interest other than devotional service. And Narada is famous as the greatest of all sages because of his being the greatest of all devotees. Narada is the spiritual master of many famous devotees of the Lord. He is the spiritual master of Prahlad, Dhruva, and Vyas. Highly qualified persons. Down to the forest animal hunter. Now that's Magari, but here he says Kirata, a forest-dwelling person. His only business is to turn everyone to transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, all these features of Narada make him the dearmost son of his father. The devotees are always anxious to know more and more about the Supreme Lord, the master of all energies, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:9. Very important verse. Here's Prabhupada's paraphrasing. It's not a literal translation. The Supreme Lord is unlimited and his energies are also unlimited. No one can know them completely. Brahmaji, being the greatest living entity within the universe, and being directly instructed by the Lord, must know more than anyone within this universe. I mean, think about it for just a moment. What is, you know, the biggest scientists in the world, what are they trying to do? The research scientists. They're trying to, like, pick apart what has already been put together by Brahma, figure out how this moves, causes that to move, the cause and effect of the whole of the creation. And then they take that cause-effect little relationship and they try to make another one. That's technology starting with research. So what about, and they call it this engineering, that engineering. But what about the one who put it all together to begin with? And it's not only mechanical engineering, but electrical engineering and civil engineering and environmental engineering and all the other engineerings. All in one professor who knows it all. I mean, there isn't something he doesn't know because otherwise it wouldn't be put together. So, his son, Junior Narada, he wants to hear from his father, who's super professor. But it's not just information. It's devotional service. Because what's the purpose of information for a devotee? It's useless without devotional service. So how devotional service can be enhanced is the interest of a devotee. And that's Devarshi Narada. Thus it is the duty of everyone to ask about the unlimited Lord from the spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahma, which descends from Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Shukadeva, and so on. It's a theme that surfaces again and again and again in the second canto about the process of creation. Now many devotees find that not so interesting. They skip over those pages and go to something interesting. But there's a reason why it's thematically presented again and again and again, and why it's in this second canto, why it's so early in the Bhagavatam. A very practical reason, because we're conditioned by that material energy. And if we do not see the material energy in relation to the Supreme, then almost automatically we will see it as up for grabs. Prabhupada's simple example is, supposing you're walking along the street and you find somebody's wallet. When we were on Govardhan Parikrama, somebody lost their wallet at Govindakund. His passport wasn't there, but everything else, money, credit cards, everything, ID, driver's license, everything was in his wallet. So suppose you find somebody's wallet. Doesn't belong to anybody. There's one way to think about it, or nobody's looking, it just belongs to me now. Let's see, look at all this. Or it doesn't belong to me, so you just keep walking. Or it must belong to somebody, let me find who it belongs to and return it to them. Three different, really basic options. So same, we're in this material world, and who does it belong to? If we don't have a clear sense of the relationship between God and His energies, then it's up for grabs. I'll make a bunch of it mine, as much of it as I can. And that's the game of materialism. People are busy from the time they're born till the time they die to make as many things theirs as possible, only to have to give it up because nothing is theirs to begin with. And the more you have, the more you're successful by material standards, however you got it. Honestly, or by trickery or thievery, or it's one of the statements in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam describing the age of Kali. Persons will be honored by their wealth. Everyone knows the persons that are wealthy have gotten wealthy because they did it by some crooked means. But because they're wealthy, they're honored in society. Isn't it? Everybody knows they've done it by crooked means, and they're honored by society. And some get put in jail because they get caught. And some don't get put in jail because they bribe with some of the money that they crookedly achieve, so they don't go to jail. That's common in this country. And more and more as Kali Yuga becomes advanced. Sad state of affairs. But Brahma's advancement, Narada's advancement, was his advancement in good qualities. That was his treasure. Prabhupada has taught us the austerity is the wealth of the Brahmana. You've heard that before? Now, austerity sounds like you don't have anything. You do without. That's austerity. So when you do without, what's your wealth? You don't have any. You have another wealth. Your austerity is your wealth. Because with your austerity, that brings sense control. And at least potentially, the avenue for becoming pure in heart. So purity and sense control. And freedom from passion and ignorance. At least the potential is there. So Narada had not just the quality of goodness, but he had devotional service. His father was pleased with him very, very much, and that's how Narada became Narada. In this life. He's something from his previous life, but in this life, and his father, Brahma, blessed him. He got mercy. The topmost of Brahma's mercy. Because of his nice qualities and his eagerness to learn more about devotional service. Bhagavatam's nice, huh? So how do we get those nice qualities? If that's what's going to be pleasing to personalities like Brahma or Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu or persons that can give mercy, where do we get nice qualities from? We get nice qualities some fundamental ways by associating with those that have nice qualities. That's, in principle, an easy principle to understand. If you want to get warm, stand near a fire. You get warm. You want to have certain quality? Associate with those that have that certain quality. Once Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, how do you become sincere? And Prabhupada's answer was, how do you become a drunkard? You associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard. You go to the bar or drinking place every day and just stay there. Eventually you become a drunkard. How do you become scholarly? You go to a place of scholarship and you stay there and you associate with the scholarly people and you become scholarly through association. You become sincere by associating with those that are sincere. Another time, Swamiji, how do you become sincere? And Prabhupada's answer was, by being sincere. That was his answer. Then he said, everybody knows what sincerity is. He was anticipating the next question. What is sincerity? Everybody knows what sincerity is. He didn't even explain further. We could say, insincerity is this, like duplicity or deception. And sincere means the genuine thing. So another way of saying that same second answer is by practice of something. You can develop that something. That's the prayasa, the endeavor. But then one needs some mercy with every endeavor. But Krishna sees our sincere efforts and Krishna will reciprocate. That resource we need, the association we need, the strength we need, the capacity we need. Krishna will see. And the third answer is that Krishna decorates his devotee with nice qualities. Now this is back to the sincerity part, when Krishna sees with sincerity how the devotee is trying to serve him. Krishna is very pleased with our sincerity. Then Krishna decorates the devotee with nice qualities which please him. But that which pleases him has come from him. It's very nice. Prabhupada gave this, just to illustrate this, he gave an example in deity worship. When you worship the deity with sincerity, you're decorating the deity, but actually you are being decorated. Because Krishna doesn't need any ornaments. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need your nice clothing. He doesn't need a nice altar. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need your offerings of food. But if we consciously and devotionally, with love, try to make nice offerings, we become decorated. Prabhupada's example was like decorating your face. You decorate the image in the mirror. So when you're looking in the mirror, you're putting on your tilak. You're looking in the mirror. You don't see your face. You see the reflection in the mirror. You're putting on your tilak. So the reflection in the mirror is you're seeing the tilak being put on, but actually you're decorating your face. Prabhupada explained similarly, by worshipping the deity, you're actually decorating yourself. Because Krishna is pleased when you make sincere offerings and Krishna decorates you with nice qualities. Isn't that nice? Such a nice understanding. And that's how devotion, that's how we develop nice qualities. By trying sincerely to please Krishna. Another way of saying the same thing is in the Nectar of Devotion. There's a chapter entitled Eligibility of a Candidate for Devotional Service. Correct? And what is that eligibility? What is the requirement for entering into devotional service? Which is the same answer for what's the eligibility for getting decorated by good qualities by Krishna. Because that's through the medium of devotional service. It's our sincerity. Or in other place, it's another language, it's one's eagerness for our relationship with Krishna. And that's Narada's inquiry from Brahma. He just wanted some information. Well, thanks a lot, Dad. See you later. It's not information he was looking for. It's his father is this amazing personality that knows all about how the energies of the Lord work, and he wants to enter into that appreciation of his father and what his father has done and what his father is. So it's strengthening his relationship with his father and with the Supreme Lord in the mood of loving service unto him. Not that Narada wants to go out and compete with his father and make, you know, one up him and make a better universe than his father did. It's not like that. It's not his service, nor is it his disposition. But it's enriching one's devotional service. That's the position of a qualified devotee. So Prabhupada concludes the purport. Not only Narada, the son of Brahma, but everyone. It is the duty of everyone to ask about the unlimited Lord from the spiritual master in the disciplic succession of Brahma, which that knowledge descends through Narada Vyas and Shukadeva Goswami, and so forth. I like Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very nice. If you read it thoughtfully, you can learn so many practical things. It's so deep, so profound. And very, very attractive. Srimad Bhagavatam. So, any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
By understanding how the material energy works, How does that enhance our devotion to the Lord?
Okay. It's not a riddle, but what's in front of you, behind you, above you, and below you, and to both sides. We're in this ocean of the material energy. How does this ocean of material energy relate to the Supreme? If we don't have that understanding, as I described, we tend to identify with it and try to make it ours. It's without light, there's darkness. That's by definition what darkness is. It's the absence of light. So if we have light, there's no darkness. The light is, like in the Bhagavad Gita, the first of the Chatur Sloki verses. It's actually 7 and 8. He says the same thing. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam bhuta bhava samandita. That means, translated, Aham sarvasya prabhava. Everything comes from me. Then he says it in reverse. That is, I'm the source of everything. Matak sarvam pravartate. Iti matva, thus knowing, bhajante mam. We engage in devotional service. So if we can understand how everything has come from Krishna, there's only one thing to do. I mean, if you're honest. If you're dishonest, that's another thing. But if you're honest, you serve him. And this knowledge and darkness, they're side by side. Because I'm having a little problem with my little recorder and hearing Prabhupada's lectures. I've been hearing Prabhupada make the same point again. I'm hearing the same lecture over and over again. He says that actually everything is spiritual. In this world there's two things, matter and spirit. But actually everything is spirit because it comes from Krishna. But then he gives the example, but just like this body, we say the body is conscious, but then there's some parts of the body that aren't conscious. He gives the example of your nail. So if you cut your nail, it doesn't hurt. But just a fraction of a few millimeters closer, and it hurts. And side by side, they both exist. So like that, shadow and light, they exist side by side. There's not a third thing. You look at the light of the sun, and behind you is shadow. You don't see the shadow because it's behind you. Turn your back to the sun, all you see is shadow. And you don't see the light. And there's not a third thing. So, how does it help us to understand the energies of God as they exist in relation to Him? That's reality, with a capital R. That's what really is. And if we don't see that, what are we going to see? We're going to see shadow. And in that shadow or in that condition of darkness, then dark consciousness breeds dark behavior, material existence, and all of its splendor of illusion flows from not seeing things in relation to Krishna. So if we're going to see things in relation to Krishna, let's do it the Bhagavad Dharma method. In other words, other religions also say God creates everything. Heaven and earth, the Bible says. God creates heaven and earth. That's very nice. But then they treat heaven and earth like it's not God's. It's theirs. And with so much exploitation, it's terrible. But if they understood that it was God, they would behave differently. Like Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Chand Kazi, saying, what kind of scripture is this that you have, that your scripture says you kill your mother and eat her? What kind of scripture? The cow is your mother. You take the milk from the cow, and that sustains your life in infancy, and then you grow up, and then you kill her and eat her. What kind of religion is this? And as it applies to the cow, the whole of material nature. What is nature is the mother supplying the body, and God is a seed-giving father. And one doesn't see that way, then one sees according to the demoniac nature described in Bhagavad Gita. It's exactly how they see things. Where does life come? It's born of sex life, and that's it. It says right in the Bhagavad Gita, and that's what they think. One of our devotees, before coming here in America, someone was asking, how do I address a professor of mine who is advocating stem cell research? Because as far as he is concerned, all it is tissue. And she was saying, you know, but it's life. And he's saying, no, not life. It's just chemicals. It's just tissue. So what does it matter? What's your problem? What's wrong with you? So not seeing things in relation to God leads to demoniac behavior in a demoniac society. And so there may be some sentiment of an idea, but beyond sentiment, that God creates everything, how does it work? And when one knows, as a real spiritual scientist will know, then you can not only do things of technology, but it enhances your spirit of loving God. You want to use those things, whatever it is that you know, in service to God, because that's where it comes from. Iti madva bhajante mam. Buddha bhava. Buddha means that one becomes illumined with intelligence. Bhava, one feels happiness, ecstasy in that position of service. There's an instant reciprocation. But this is knowledge, and what we're speaking about is knowledge and devotion, not dry gyan. We're not interested in that. We're interested in that which nourishes our mood of devotion. And so when inquiry, as Narada is doing, about how God, Vishnu, manipulates his various energies, same question is asked by Maharaj Parikshit earlier. It's not, he's about to die. What does he care about such a thing? For the reason I gave. It's he already has the information, but what he wants is more than the information. He wants an enriched appreciation of the personality of Godhead. So that as he's dealing with this material energy in proper consciousness, he can go more deeply into the spiritual energy in proper consciousness. But if we can't deal with the material energy in proper consciousness, are we going to be able to enter into the spiritual energy with proper consciousness? We'll be still over here trying to enjoy matter because it's up for grabs. Doesn't belong to anybody. Make it mine. Or go the other direction and call it false. But it's neither mine nor is it false. There's no happiness. There's no contentment. There's no connection with the Supreme. So let me get connected with the Supreme where I am right now, you know, immersed in this ocean of material energy. Let me see it respectfully. And interact with it respectfully in the proper way. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you said we should read the Srimad Bhagavatam thoughtfully. Some practical steps, if you can tell.
It's a how-to question. Regularly, sincerely, in the association of devotees, a real big item is discussing, like we're doing now, or will you have a little group and you can discuss what did we understand, what we just read? And then like the real stick of dynamite that really makes it all explode is application. Because step back from the subject matter, we just discussed one verse this evening. What is the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam? What is it? The whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of the personality of Godhead, specifically for this age, specifically for giving light in this age of darkness. And we're holding this brilliant, according to the Bhagavatam, as brilliant as the sun, we're holding in our hand. Unfortunately, our eyes are closed tight. We can't see any light. It's dark in here. So if we read thoughtfully, appreciating what the Bhagavatam is, it's meant, just like the verse that we read, it's meant to give us light in our practical lives. It's giving us an understanding of how the energies of the Lord work, but it's also giving us, as we read further, and in the whole canto, it's really fascinating. It was a challenge to discuss Canto 2, Srimad Bhagavatam, before different audiences, for the reason that I mentioned. This is a lot of information. Let's get to the fun stuff, kind of. So it was a challenge to make it attractive, but it's very attractive. It's technical in one sense. That's not attractive. But what's going on? What is the disclosure? We're getting some really, really, you can't get it anywhere else kind of a disclosure of how the Lord is moving His various energies. And why is He doing all of this? You with me? Why is He doing it? He's doing it out of His love. That's like, why do parents do all the things they do for their children? It's amazing to see what they do for their children. Why do they do all that? Because of their affection for their children. Why is Krishna, the Lord, expanding Himself as Lord Vishnu and doing all of this complicated, dry, boring stuff? Why is He doing it all? To make an arrangement for the living entities because they wanted to enjoy, but built into it is an arrangement where they could get freed from that disposition, ill disposition towards Him. Very, very, very concealed. But it's there. It's there in every part of creation. And it's in there in every part of this Bhagavatam. How much trouble the Lord takes to help us return to Him. Even we have this really nasty attitude towards Him. Defiant. Insulting. Dark. And it enriches one's. So to read thoughtfully, it says, understand where this is all taking you. It's taking you into your relationship with Krishna. It's helping you to, just as with Brahma, to recreate, it's helping us to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. By re-acknowledging, this is all His, and rededicating everything to His service. Beyond just sentiment. Again, in this lecture, something that Prabhupada was saying again and again was, people may take up spiritual life out of sentiment. Still, there's no loss. Because of sentiment, they may, after some time, their sentiments change, and then they leave devotional service. Still, there's no loss. On the other hand, if one engages perfectly in all their prescribed duties, but there's no sense of the personality of Godhead, there's nothing gained from a spiritual perspective. It's all phantasmagoria that evaporates, just like a dream. And very lovingly, the Supreme Lord waits while we frivolously do such things. Just patiently waiting for us to come to Him and sending us signals and messages that we can handle. So if you appreciate what the Bhagavatam is, that's a clue or a pointer, a tip, a how-to item to read thoughtfully. Read the Bhagavatam as if, because it is, the personality of Godhead is reaching out to you and would like to bring you to Him. And these are His messages to bring you to Him. Read in that very personal way. Then it's an experience. It's not just information. You experience your relationship with Krishna. Yes.
While developing qualities.
While developing qualities.
It has a fruitive mentality that we want to immediately develop the qualities.
Fruitive mentality. We want to immediately develop qualities.
Not undergoing the real genuine process.
Not undergoing the real genuine process.
So, how can we overcome and really wanting for genuine?
By Krishna consciousness. How to. I was having a very nice discussion with some devotees in America about this recently before coming to India. The topic was like this. It's similar, very similar. Supposing there's something that we recognize within ourselves we need to make some improvement on. We get this realization and then an inspiration. Now what not to do is what you just described, which is moved by the mode of passion, one abandons thought of Krishna and goes right away into the kartahamiti manyate spirit. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to uproot this thing. And what happens? It's like a spiritual disconnect. And everything fizzles. The next thing you know, the inspiration is gone. The thought, the whole spirit is gone. You're flat on your face. Feeling, what happened? You just got moved by the mode of passion, away from Krishna. Just same. So, stay in the disposition of remaining mindful of Krishna. Remaining mindful of fixing your mind and refixing your mind and refixing your mind again. From that sense of gratitude unto Krishna for disclosing this important thing, sustained by that sense of gratitude, and then you, in service to Krishna, you take up as an instrument of Krishna on his behalf. You stay in that spirit of Krishna consciousness. So then, you know, how to develop that quality, it was answered earlier. How do you develop any quality? By associating with those that have that quality, by striving for it directly, expecting Krishna's mercy. Focus on trying to please Krishna. Say it differently. Focus on establishing your relationship with Krishna. Focus on acting in your relationship with Krishna. Whatever you do, focus on acting in your relationship with Krishna. Whatever you do. Then that spirit will stay with you in whatever you do. Because the other is not our real nature. Forgetfulness, like the diseased condition, is not a real nature. The healthy condition is a real nature. So act in a healthy mode and you reestablish your healthy condition. It's not our natural condition. But you hit it correctly, right on the head. It's passion. Moves us away from Krishna. While we're thinking, now I'm going to get this thing done. Relying upon Krishna. For Krishna. For his pleasure. In a way that will please him. So cultivate that in all the things that you do. In the purified stage, when we become attached to Krishna, it's automatically there. In the practicing stage, there's some cultivation. Prabhupada describes that in the introduction of Nectar of Devotion, that devotional service is a type of cultivation. It's taken directly from Anyabhilasha to Shunyam Jnana Karmadya Navratam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. Anushilana. Anu. Shilana. Anu means to follow. Shila or Shilana means behaviors. We follow, we cultivate those behaviors of the perfected souls, those who are attached to Krishna. So we hear about the perfected souls, and inspired by them, we remember them, that we're associating with them this way. That quality that they have becomes our quality. Anushilanam. By cultivation. So it requires this internal work, this internal Krishna consciousness. And then we can stay in Krishna consciousness while we carry out our various duties of life by Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Like, there are a lot of bad qualities in the heart.
Bad qualities in the heart.
Which is blocking and disturbing the relationships among devotees, my behavior and the way I be with the devotees. And I am finding a lot of difficulty in practicing Trinadapi Sunichena. It is
in practicing which?
Trinadapi Sunichena.
Anartha Nivritti.
Trinadapi Sunichena verse.
Trinadapi Sunichena.
And the relationships are getting strained because of bad qualities. And it is giving a lot of, so much insecurity feeling. So how can I develop good qualities and good loving relationships?
By Krishna consciousness. Right? Similar. Everything that I said applies to this, and I'm going to add something to that. In Ramanujacharya's writings, he gives a similar formula as I've been describing of how to develop Vaishnava qualities. This last part that I described, you know, I'll put it in common language. We have certain heroes or role models in Krishna consciousness. Each of us have persons who, when we hear about a certain personality, we get, So, this is a way of developing those qualities of those personalities. Take one that's your favorite, whatever that favorite one is, and you hear about that person. You read about that person. You speak to others about that person. You remember that person. You glorify that person. You offer prayers to that person. Prayers of glorification, prayers of request. And you can just continue in that way. That's associating with that person. And that quality, through that medium of association, becomes your quality. And that transcendentally takes the mind away from the hard struggle with the material energy. Daivihiyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. So rather than investing consciousness in that hard struggle of trying to overcome my inability to be humble, withdraw and place consciousness in appreciating those that are humble in a most inspiring way. That helps one develop. That's one of the items Ramanujacharya has described that we do all the time. If at least, you know, our process provides that access. Practically speaking, any of our great acharyas exhibits these symptoms, starting with great humility. Any one of them. Amazing, awesome, inspiring degrees of humility. So absorb yourself in thoughts of them, hearing about them, glorifying them, reading about them. Go deeply into the subject matter. And you'll find these explosions of spiritual energy that carry you to the position of humility. Nice example is Uddhava. He was so elevated and so intimately associated with Krishna that Krishna would go to him for advice and Krishna would follow Uddhava's advice. He was that close to Krishna. Krishna chose Uddhava to go visit Vrindavan, take a message from him to the gopis explaining, "I'll come soon." So part of it was to pacify the gopis, but even more important was to give Uddhava the opportunity to associate with the residents of Vrindavan so he could see what was the quality of their love. Uddhava didn't want to return. He stayed and underwent austerity so he could become a blade of grass, which the gopis would step on to give the dust of their lotus feet so he would be benedicted. Because their love was so inconceivable. And he was the most intimate outside of Vrindavan. Blade of grass. Trinnadapi sunichena. More humble than a blade of grass. So it's not thinking thinking in a diminutive way about yourself is what humility is. That's not what humility is. It's, from a spiritual perspective, considering how elevated the elevated devotees of the Lord are. And compared to them, insignificant. It's so through spiritual culture, by Krishna consciousness, or as I said, and the question was asked about reading very attentively, very carefully, very thoughtfully. Those potencies will come. That mood will enter into the heart if you're reading in that manner. And read and discuss in the association of others who have that disposition. That's why we have association of devotees. So we can go more deeply, go more deeply, go more deeply. The distractions are many. The duties of life and the pace of life and the way that people are with one another and money and nasty and, you know, there's so many distractions. So many distractions. But which is stronger, darkness or light? Light is always stronger. As soon as you flick on the switch, the darkness is gone. So keep the switch on. By regularly hearing. So it's, I recommend find personalities that really inspire you and absorb yourself in appreciation of those perfected souls. And these qualities will become your qualities just by that association. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.